Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we've got a bit of an update from Elon on the next iterations of the Model Y at Giga Berlin and Giga Texas. We've got a press conference from President Biden at Ford advocating for his infrastructure plan, some news on Tesla stock from Renaissance Technologies and New Street Research, and a couple other stories as well. We'll start off with the stock here quickly. Tesla today finishing up 0.2% to $577.87, a rare overperformance for the stock as of late, outpacing the NASDAQ, which was down 0.6%. But to, again, just kind of drive the point home from yesterday's episode where we talked about the influence of rotation, things like that, ARK Innovation, ETF today up 1.4%. Before we get into the updates from Elon, I did just want to quickly talk about Biden's press conference and updates today on the infrastructure plan. I think this was probably the most discussed topic that I saw out there for Tesla today. And kind of for good reason, I think the concerns that were heightened today around this infrastructure plan are threefold. The first two are in one line of a release statement from the White House on the infrastructure plan today, sharing a couple of details about how a consumer electric vehicle tax credit might be structured. It says, quote, "These incentives will not go towards expensive luxury models and will also incentivize manufacturers who use good labor practices," end quote. So the first concern there being, okay, expensive luxury models, what exactly does that mean? It's unclear at this point in time. And then second there, also using good labor practices. What exactly does that mean? We know that Biden is a big union guy, self-proclaimed, and Tesla is, of course, not unionized, which I think brings in the third amplification of concern, which was Biden's press conference itself, in which he frequently and consistently emphasized unions. All right, so breaking those down for the first concern in terms of expensive luxury models, I don't share too much of a concern on that. I think if we see an exclusion, it's going to be in a price band that still accommodates Tesla's Model 3 and Model Y. Lots of the competition right now is sitting in that price band, including offerings from Ford, which Biden was presenting at today, both with the Ford Mach-E and then presumably also with the Ford F-150 Lightning, which was actually on stage behind Biden at his presentation. So Ford is supposed to unveil the Ford F-150 Lightning tomorrow night in full, but the F-150 non-electric version starts at around $30,000, pretty quickly ranges up to $60,000. The Mustang Mach-E starts at $43,000, again, quickly up to $60,000. So right in that range that the Model 3 and the Model Y play at. So I'm not too concerned about the Model 3 and the Model Y potentially being excluded as considered being luxury vehicles. Plus, the average price of a new car in the US is about $40,000. So if they do put a luxury cap here, maybe that's $60,000 or $80,000. We'll just have to wait and see on that, but I would have to imagine that any cap there would probably not harm most of Tesla's volume, though obviously the S and the X, and then eventually maybe the Tri-Motor Cybertruck could be at some risk there in terms of being excluded. As for the union stuff, it's certainly something to watch, but my personal opinion is that I don't think it's going to materialize into anything that's prohibitive for Tesla. Most of the communication seems to be pretty carefully worded to be supportive of unions, but not necessarily tie anything directly to unions in terms of that being an enabling factor. Most of that type of direct language seems to have been reserved for doing things specifically in the United States. From that regard, Tesla should actually be pretty well positioned, even better than Ford in some cases, with the Mach-E being manufactured in Mexico. So here's an example of that kind of language that I'm talking about. This is something that Biden wrapped up with in his presentation today. He said that the US government would do, quote, "everything in our power to encourage and protect the right of workers to unionize and collectively bargain," end quote. Which is great. Workers should have that right. But if an electric vehicle credit, for example, was structured to only go to union-made vehicles or something like that, that would effectively be penalizing workers for not deciding to unionize. Again, my personal expectation is that something like that wouldn't materialize. As for the rest of Biden's press conference, just a couple of things that I noted here. So first off, you got to pay attention to who the demographic is here, and keep in mind that this is politics. So first of all, this was obviously in collaboration with Ford, and there were definitely union workers present. So Biden is speaking to them and being supportive of unions because of that, in part. And though he never really seems to mention Tesla, which is disappointing, it also makes sense that he wouldn't mention Tesla on stage with a bunch of Ford vehicles. I will note that he did say something interesting, though. He did note that the expiration structure of the current electric vehicle incentive program has penalized electric vehicles making the most EVs. Well, that would be Tesla, and then of course GM has burned through those credits as well. Interestingly, Ford here has not. So a little bit of a veiled comment there, but likely positive towards Tesla. All right, with that out of the way, let's get to these comments from Elon Musk on the Model Y. So Elon on Twitter, finally tweeting about Tesla. A lot of people are rejoicing about that. But replying to a Tasmanian article about his visit to Giga Berlin, Elon says, quote, "going through all aspects of next-gen Model Y production system with team, a lot of talented people at Giga Berlin, this place will rock," end quote. couple of hours later, Elon then tweeted, quote, Giga Berlin suppliers, please accelerate, end quote. Which is kind of interesting, given that we had heard yesterday Elon Musk say that he's hoping that the end of the year could be the start of production for Giga Berlin. So maybe after the meetings that he's had this week, he feels better about the timelines and wants suppliers to accelerate to keep up with those timelines, or just feels like suppliers are falling behind and putting that timeline at risk. I don't think we can really read too much either way into that tweet. For what it's worth, a couple hours after that tweet, we did get an update from Jörg Steinbach on Twitter, Brandenburg's Minister of Economics, saying, quote, unexpectedly, there was an opportunity for a brief informal catch-up between Elon Musk and myself at Gigafactory this afternoon, a brief wrap-up of the progress in an excellent mood. Not having been on site for months, I was amazed by the current status. Safe ongoing journey, Elon, end quote. As for the other couple of updates here on the Model Y, Elon did tag onto that Giga Berlin suppliers tweet saying, quote, aiming for extreme precision with next-gen Model Y, microns, not millimeters, end quote. A micron is 1/1000th of a millimeter, so it's a lofty goal there, a few orders of magnitude, but the casting process should really help Tesla with this, I think. When you have the front cast, the rear cast, and you have the structural battery, hopefully that would reduce some of the margin for error in the body, which could obviously potentially be compounded as that's built upon. And of course, as Elon continues to call this the next gen Model Y, there will be other refinements, and as these are built in new factories, there will be new equipment, hopefully giving better results. Last item on Model Y, we got a bit of clarification here on the plan for Giga Texas, Elon responding to Holmar's catalog asking about if Austin would start with a 2170 cell in the Model Y or jump straight to the 4680, Elon here confirming that they do intend to start production with the 4680 cell. So I know we get these daily drone videos of Giga Texas, Giga Berlin, and all these things look really important, but what then ends up being the most important factor at the end of the day, I think, is the 4680 battery cell production. That could pretty easily wind up being the limiting factor, so we need to keep an eye on how that is progressing. Certainly something that I'm sure we'll get asked on the next earnings call, which we're about 2 months out from. All right, next up here, we've got an update from Electrek. They are reporting that according to sources familiar with the matter, Tesla has between 10 and 20,000 vehicles that have been produced at the Fremont factory that are sitting currently in a quote-unquote containment hold. Electrek says these are Model 3s and Model Ys, so not just a big pile of refreshed S and X vehicles, and they say that the sources familiar with the matter told them that an unknown part is missing. That's the reason for the hold. So right now, Tesla's doing about 8 to 9,000 vehicles per week out of Fremont, so this would be potentially 1 to 2 weeks of production. Potentially not a huge issue if Tesla can resolve the problem relatively soon, but if not, certainly something that could impact deliveries for Q2. Though at the end of the day, if Tesla can still keep producing vehicles and eventually get whatever missing part this is installed in those vehicles, then effectively it would just be pushing vehicles that would have been delivered in Q2, potentially into Q3. I think that's about all we can say at this point in time. It's definitely worth keeping an eye on this for any updates we might get. I wouldn't dismiss it offhand though. As we move through Q2, there definitely continues to be supply chain challenges across industries. It's just a really weird time for businesses right now. So some interruptions, some additional costs, those things should be anticipated. Next here, we've got a couple of quick updates on Tesla stock. The first I thought kind of interesting because of the misleading coverage of Michael Burry's so-called $530 million bet against Tesla unveiled in the 13F filing. Of course, we talked about that yesterday. Well, we've got another firm here, Renaissance Technologies, that has disclosed a $550 million long position in Tesla that is actually that amount, 827,000 shares at the end of Q1. So odd that we didn't see as many articles about this as we did about Michael Burry's not $530 million position. So I found this kind of interesting because Renaissance Technologies, they're a quant-based firm, so they do pretty much all their trading based on their quantitative analysis, the algorithms that they have developed. So kind of interesting to see them add in the first quarter 566,000 shares of Tesla stock. And while Tesla was just their 14th largest position, about 0.7% of their total portfolio, it was their biggest addition, their top buy of the quarter. Anyway, the other stock-related update that we've got here is from Pierre Farragut of New Street Research. We've had him on the podcast a couple times. He tweeted today, quote, so you think Tesla is not profitable? We published research today looking at Tesla cash returns on operating assets, the only metric telling you how profitable an operation is. Conclusion, crushing it, beating already OEM peers, heading straight into the league of Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, end quote. I don't have the notes, so I'm not sure exactly what Math Pierre is doing here, but from a Barron's article, we can see that he's looking at operating cash flow, excluding regulatory credits, over the last 12 months, and then comparing that with operating assets. So Tesla's factories and equipment and working capital and inventory, those types of things. If we look at Tesla's Q4 report, we can see that over the last year, they produced about $6 billion in operating cash flow. So take about 1.6 out for regulatory credit sales. That ends up being 4.4 billion. And then Pierre is saying that operating assets, how they're defining it, is $23.8 billion. So he's saying they're getting an 18% return, or at least got an 18% return in 2020. But looking ahead out to 2023, he believes that can actually increase to about $16 billion in operating cash flow on only $47 billion in operating assets. So a return then of 38%. So the simple way of interpreting that is that Pierre continues to see Tesla generating a lot of cash from the new factories they're building and continuing to develop operating leverage. That's a topic we may talk a little bit more about later this week if we do get a slower news day. All right, last couple of items here. First, an update from Korea Daily. They are reporting that Tesla has recently imported 10,000 electric vehicles through cargo ships, presumably production from China. This report is actually about a week old. I had seen the headline back then, didn't find it to be all that interesting. I'd assume that these 10,000 were accounted for in the, you know, roughly 14,000 that we heard were exported from China in April. So Tesla, I believe, trying to get some electric vehicles into South Korea before some of the EV incentives are used up. But what I found interesting here, for some reason this resurfaced into my feed today, was that they also say that Tesla will ship Model Y in Korea from the 13th this month, so a few days ago, in addition to the existing models, Model 3 and Model S. So we'll have to see if that does come to fruition, if we get any reports on that. But I believe if that does happen, that would be the first deliveries of Model Y to a country outside of North America or China. So a pretty significant milestone. And then we'd also need to keep that in mind for when we do get May China information. So sales or production, whatever data we get at that point in time. We should keep in mind that there may be a big chunk of Model Ys that has been shipped to Korea. Lastly today, we have an update from Lamborghini. They have announced their roadmap to electrification. They say that in 2023, they'll launch their first hybrid electric car. By the end of 2024, their full lineup will be electrified, and then they say that the first fully electric Lamborghini will be sometime in the second half of the decade. So nothing too surprising there on the timeline, I don't think, but it looks like Tesla, pending the timeline on the Roadster, should have a pretty significant period of time without having any competition from Lamborghini from an EV perspective in that space. So with that, we will wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, May 19th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.